We're watching a surge down in tech stocks, plus the Fed chairman testifies. I'm David Brancaccio. When the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, begins testifying in Congress in a few minutes, we'll be watching a balancing act given what could be a surge in economic activity once more people get the COVID vaccine. Here's David Kelly, chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds.
I think the Federal Reserve wants to keep interest rates very low for a long time to help out the economy. The problem is that the data is showing that the pandemic is now receding pretty fast. We've got a boatload of fiscal stimulus about to hit the economy. So, you know, the economy is pretty cold right now, but it's going to heat up a lot during the year. And he's going to have to convince people that he's going to keep interest rates low despite that.
While jacking up interest rates may not be in the cards, we'll be interested to hear what Powell has to say about the Fed selling off all the bonds it's been massively buying up to keep rates down. Markets this morning, some turbulence. The NASDAQ, after falling 2.5% yesterday, is down 3.3% now. The Dow is down 0.8%, 257 points. The S&P is down 1.3%. So the story is really with the NASDAQ. Connecticut's governor is throwing out CDC recommendations and will give out COVID vaccine there based only on age, with eligibility starting soon for anyone 55 and older. One exception, all teachers will be eligible there. Trends that Connecticut expects will catch on elsewhere. Here's Marketplace's Nova Suffo.
If Connecticut was to vaccinate based on CDC recommendations, it would now be trying to figure out who's in the next round of essential workers. But Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says that's a daunting task.
Agricultural workers. All right. Well, does that include landscapers? Does that include arborists? Manufacturing. Okay. That's traditional manufacturing. Does that include construction? Does that include people that are making vaccines?
Lamont's solution? Simply prioritize by age, since the elderly are more vulnerable. He's also prioritizing school teachers.
I'm going to focus on the old business motto, KISS, keep it simple, stupid, because a lot of complications result from states that tried to finally slice the salami.
With a limited supply of vaccines, Lamont told a news conference yesterday that delivering them equitably has been a challenge, something reported in other states as well. Officials hope by opening up the lines to anyone who wants a vaccine, they can improve access. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And the Cherokee Nation has asked Fiat Chrysler to stop using their name on those Jeeps. Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. strongly suggested it is time, to Car and Driver magazine. After the storms and utility outages, the federal government has ordered a ban on foreclosures on Federal Home Administration-backed mortgages. The IRS tax deadline will be delayed for Texans. And for the subset of Texans getting freaky high utility bills now after the state's energy market seized up, they're waiting to hear about relief. Moving forward, what might change in the way Texas manages electricity and natural gas? Charlotte Howard is the Economist magazine's energy and commodities editor and has followed this. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
This Texas power disaster, do you see policy to some extent to blame here?
So this is, of course, extreme weather, but Texas has a pretty unusual electricity market in its design. It is, unlike any other state in the country, is not connected to the power grids beyond its borders. Texas also doesn't have a system for paying electricity generators to have extra power sitting around. So most states have something called a capacity market, which gives an incentive to have that extra power on the grid. Texas's system is hugely competitive, and people don't keep that extra power lying around to a sufficient extent.
Why are they cut off from the rest of civilization, Texas? They always thought they would always have extra power internally?
You know, if you want to talk about the politics of Texas independence, I think that's for another show. But I do think that Texas has been very proud historically of what have been very, very low electricity prices for consumers because of that really competitive market.
Charlotte, some opponents of green energy want to blame Texas windmills for causing the lights and heat to go out there. And indeed, some wind generators did fail, but you're not thinking that's the big problem here?
Well, if you just look at the numbers for the capacity that went offline, wind just objectively wasn't the main cause. You had natural gas plants that failed. You had a nuclear plant that failed. There were failures just across the Texas energy system.
So as the U.S. considers massive infrastructure upgrades to support a more renewable energy system going into the future, perhaps Texas could benefit from this.
You know, Texas isn't the only state that's had blackouts. Of course, California has had extreme weather in the form of these regular fires. And Texas and California are two very different electricity markets, but they do share some common problems. It would help in both states to have extra power generation backup. It would help to have energy storage, batteries, and other means to help have it available to meet demand when it spikes. And then you also really need more resilient infrastructure in California. That might be buried power lines that aren't causing fires. That's been a huge problem there. It might mean more long-distance transmission in Texas. But I think in both cases, you see both the impact of extreme weather on the grids and how devastating it can be when a grid isn't prepared, and how urgently there is this need for additional investment.
Charlotte Howard covers energy for The Economist magazine and is its New York bureau chief. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Charlotte and I also talked today about the national move to green energy with her piece out this week in The Economist entitled How America Can Rid Itself of Both Carbon and Blackouts. Marketplace.org if you missed that on the air. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.